Welcome back to Shifting Through the Gears. This is Keo.
This is Trace. And today we have
Timothy Allen Sheehan Jr.
Jesus Christ. All the names out there today.
Wow. That's impressive.
He went with the full list.
Yes, sir.
And
Logan.
Who always looks like he's crying. I had to.
Thank you for letting me swallow first.
And none of you guys can see it, but Tim can't touch the ground. So if he wants to scoot forward,
my toes are touching.
Yes.
Didn't help you put a 40-pound box under me.
You're the one that wanted to sit in the race chair.
Hey, that's half my body weight, so.
That's like all his body weight.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So this is our second take trying to do this episode, because the last time I completely screwed up.
You want to just do it and, like, screw this one up? Because everything on my car has to be done three times, so might as well make it.
No, I don't want to do that at all. Because this is a far-ass drive from my house coming from the city down to Joliet all the way up here.
Yeah.
Happens on the big jobs.
I drove that like all week.
I quit driving to the city for reasons.
I was driving Roselle to Country Club, you know where that's at?
Mm-hmm.
Twice a day.
All Fuck week. That.
And then afterwards, Damn. Like every other day, I was driving from there to Bartlett to Rockford and then home.
That's Jesus. A whole lot of hell no. Like, no. Absolutely not.
Got good hours.
So
you get paid to do that.
Yeah, 10, 12-hour days every day.
There's a difference.
I didn't get paid to do this. I didn't get paid to go to the city in the first place, okay? So let's see. For people who don't know you, let's give a little background. How old are you? What do you do for your a living or your job? Mm-hmm. And then list a couple passions you have.
Couple. That's me hard.
There's what I'm looking at right fucking now.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Let me correct my direction. Here you go. Fair enough.
Drives a Subaru. Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm 25. Truck driver. Local truck driver. And then cars, computers, Lego. Pissing people off is usually another one. That's pretty good.
Four-year-old activities.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That sounds like an adult.
A four-year-old with expendable income.
Yeah.
That's great.
I can't buy a house, so I might as well spend my money, right?
Fair enough. At least you're having fun with it. Yeah, and what are a couple of the vehicles you own?
So that's like a 90-something. I don't know what fucking year it is. Nissan 240 with an LS1, like Prime-style car. And then 17 STI, a 07 Duramax. Technically a Miata, somewhat of a Miata.
Technically?
It's a cart. It's Pasha's.
Yeah.
Pasha's
okay,
cart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a story. I found the whole story behind that.
Did you?
Was it Pasha?
That's the kid?
Yeah, there's a story behind that, how he bought it.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny. Shit.
What was that?
It's really funny.
So John at Koza he thought, oh, that's badass. I'll go buy it. Like, go look at it. He wanted like $7,000 or something ridiculous for it. Pasha's like, yeah, it makes 450 wheel or some shit like that. And John's like, there's no fucking way it made that. And he's like, we'll put it on my down. If it makes over, I think he said 300, I'll give you the $7,000. It made like two, it was a turbo Miata.
Yeah.
240.
No fucking, like standard turbo, not like fully built, like
215.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like 220 or something like that. And then after that pull, John told his buddy, like, hey, go get a nitrous bomb. Just open the bottle all the way up and spray it in the intake right behind the kid. And they did that, and it literally blew rods out of the block. And Damn. The kid's face, it just looked like his dog died, he said. because he didn't, like, pay for it yet. And they just blew the fucking fucker up on the dyno, shot rods out of it.
Yep.
I want to cry for the kid.
It doesn't matter. I mean, John bought it. I think he had more than they had agreed to if it didn't make the 400. Which is like $3,000 or I don't know what it was. He ended up giving like four or five or whatever. He doesn't really remember.
But
he
definitely,
he paid what they at least agreed to, if not more.
Yeah, I remember watching them push it up Koza's driveway when they delivered it. It was on a tow truck. Tow truck lowered the flatbed down, rolled it off, and then there was like three or four of them that were pushing it up the driveway.
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And then it made like fucking probably 1,500 or whatever it was when he put the twin turbo LS in it. He raced like Cletus, and like I think he almost went 200 and a quarter or something like that. I'm not sure what it
damn
or eighth. I don't know what he did exactly with it.
So he has a death wish, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Pretty cool guy though.
Guy's got some balls. I like that.
Yeah. He almost put like a
phrasing.
And then he ended up in like a full like billet block and everything, but he never raced it like that.
Oh, so is this just like his
like he had like $100,000 like engine like drivetrain set up in the car, but he never raced it. They got it together and they never did anything with it. They took it back out and sold it, the engine.
$100,000 drive. I would too. Shit. Yeah. It's a Miata. It needs 240 horsepower to move.
It's not really a Miata anymore. Relatively fun. It's got okay, a ZL1 it does Camaro not need rear end, a Fox body front, bro. It needs like subframe.
100.
It had a Miata floor in it. It literally was a Miata floor and firewall, and the rest of it was tube chassis and had the ZL1 rear suspension. It still has the ZL1 rear suspension and the Fox body front suspension.
Could you imagine going into like the auto parts store and being like, all right, I got a Miata, but hear me out. Just hear me out real quick.
No, that's when you just grab the keyboard.
I don't even say that anymore.
So I got a list here. Look them up.
I just go in part numbers and order it off Rock Auto. Yeah. Or the dealership, wherever I need it from.
That would just be funny. It would confuse the fuck out of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a Miata, but it's got a Fox body front end.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to... please do that to somebody and just fucking record that and put it on, like, TikTok or some shit. For that thing behind you. I got a 240 with that list, blah, blah, blah.
I don't even say that. If I need an LS part, I just say it's a 2000 Camaro, and I don't even, like, bother...
Just save yourself.
I might mention it later, but like I won't mention it trying to get the part number because they got small brains and
I need a wiper. Right, is it? Is it
any blinker manual? Fluid? Where the hell is
it's
that?
It's a fucking wiper blade. Is it 4x4? It's a fucking wiper blade.
Should just come engineers and if I was an engineer, I would 100% make it different just to piss people off.
Oh, you would be a dick.
Manual Mustang versus automatic Mustang, yeah, different wiper blade sizes, and they hit each other when you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Like it matters.
You would have a different spline.
You would be the guy you
the
hate.
Windshield wipers. So if mm-hmm. you tried to like get new ones or buy some, you'd have to count the splines. It'd be fuck some that. Tim move. It'd be one spline different.
That's some asshole shit. Mm-hmm. Logan, what about you? How old are you? What do you do for a living? And what kind of vehicles you got?
I am 25. I drive a E34 and I'm building an E36 with an LS. That's about it. I'm a mechanic over at Deluxe Auto in Campton Hills. That's about it.
Doesn't he sound like he wants to cry?
I don't know. I don't really do don't well talking about
myself. Don't seem so goddamn sad, dude.
I don't do well talking about myself. I don't know. I'm just not a hype man for myself. I just do the thing. I help Tim out. I'm learning. Just one of those guys that's the comedian, I guess.
I just saw your fucking thing on your dashboard.
What's it say?
The little...
The pony? Yeah. That Jake... Some Jake guy with a... Was it a... Laurel? Cressida.
Cressida.
That was like storing
big
here.
Big bodied unit, I'll tell you what. And then we got that big bodied unit.
Sex. Yeah. And sex.
Yep. Automatic. Ship brown.
No. Shut up. You be quiet. You shut up.
That's like an espresso ship brown, okay?
There are two different cars. You're Mr. Pro-Am, and then there's this thing called style. You know. You might lower your car a little bit, but it will never be that low.
So I don't like hearing my car go...
Hell yeah, dude. That's half of the love of it.
I remember asking someone, like, does it not make a bunch of noises when you drive? I'm like, it does. I'm like...
Why? Why
that's,
is it
that's
so
fucking
low?
Annoying. Every time he transitions, like,
yeah,
I'd be worried my shit would just like left the chat.
Ross's car got stuck on my alignment rack at work.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
It's for the love of the game.
Yeah, his exhaust flange hooked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to happen. Fucking jack it up, add all the 4x4s under it, mm-hmm. and fucking lower it down.
Yeah, my exhaust like downturn will catch the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah. Shoots flames.
I've seen it
with the two step, yeah.
It's loud as shit. That's for a fact.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I'm talking the other one behind you.
Yeah,
he's got to put a muffler on it. So
doesn't have to
put a fucking muffler on.
Yeah, it does.
Nope. If I do, it's gonna be about this big off Amazon.
Hey, it just has to say it's a muffler.
Yeah. That's gonna be at the end of the.
Oh,
exhaust.
Can your exhaust just identify as a muffler? It's 2025.
Try that one.
2024.
I say, sir, don't kick a year at my ass.
No, it's a competition style car. I'm good.
Oh, almost really? Still yeah. The year of Black Ops 2. Think about that.
Thank you, ADHD.
Yeah, dude, that's straight up ADHD. I don't know why. I'm just ADHD. Dude.
Left fucking field. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dude.
Left field. He was in the state of Maine. Like, he was so far away from the conversation.
I love you, Logan. You're fucking great.
Yeah, dude.
So obviously, if you're watching the video, you can see we're in a, I would say, a pretty cool setup. So how did we all get to know each other? Is, well, I met him years ago. We covered that, but how did me and you get to meet?
This? Or I think you said you met me at the track one time. Yeah. I don't remember anyone from the track.
You were Ross was giving you so much shit.
Probably.
I was saying nothing because I was like, I don't know a fucking soul at this place.
Is that when you ran out of gas?
I think that was that event. Oh, yeah.
My key memory from that.
Yeah, we did a whole competition with one fuel, one filled tank at the beginning of the day, mm-hmm. and we never checked it throughout the rest of the day. And then we got through the comp all like to winning. And then mm-hmm. on fun runs, Ross was behind me. And like I kind of like pulled on him for most of the track, and then right at the end, he like surged up on me, and I knew from like after turn one, like my car was breaking up, and I was like, I'm out of gas.
Damn.
And like,
that's a bad time to be out of gas.
And then like on the last turn, I just like ducked out.
Damn.
And he missed me by like inches.
I remember I watched. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I remember just looking at it and being like, yep, he's out of gas.
Yeah, and with, like, the radium setup, you can literally take the radium fuel tank with the surge tank to, like, mm-hmm. this much fuel in the tank until it starts doing that.
Oh, shit.
Every time it's happened, I literally look in the tank and there's this much fuel. Oh, yeah. Like, there's the fuel sock and the fuel is, like, here.
So what did we learn?
That I should
sometimes
check your fucking fuel?
I should put the fuel gauge. I should wire the fuel gauge. It's got a fuel gauge.
You just need to wire it.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing is check his fucking gas.
Sometimes on these big jobs, you run into that.
Yeah, the one memory that sticks out to me was we were going over your car. It still had your doors on and, mm-hmm. and your windows in, but mm-hmm. you had the back end off. Like,
yeah, pretty much no body other than
yeah, it was
fenders, just fenders,
pretty much. And you were talking about somebody how you had just like finished welding it up shortly before the event, like a few days
firewall,
before.
Right?
Yeah, and you're like. Yeah. I half-assed this weld, and it still looks better than half the welds on this track.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this guy's
It was galvanized out. Sheet metal for, like, HVAC from Menards.
That shit was funny.
Like, I built it in, like, 45 minutes. Like,
I've got a video, and before. He Jesus. Looks pissed.
Yeah, that's my memory that stuck out, because Ross was like, why don't you talk to people? I was like, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, and that firewall was literally zip-tied to the cage, and it didn't rattle at all.
You just gotta go out and just talk to
people. Like, the panels were, like... partially welded and partially just like self-tapped.
That was my first time to U.S. here, by the way.
I hate to say it, dude. I've been places first time. You just got to walk up, be like, that was fucking sick.
I'm sick of that place.
Well, now that, so that was my second event. That was the first time I had anything outside of a skid pad. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just like all these cars. And in my head, when I go into a competition or something of whether it's sports or whatever, my head is leave me the fuck alone. Don't talk to me. Let me get through my event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how my mindset of what most people were. I should have started talking to people as the event was going on when people were getting knocked out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my interaction with you. And then a few months ago, I was like, hey, want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
You're like, sure. And now here we are for the second time. Because I'm a dumbass.
Yeah. I don't like people.
He's nope. one of those guys that has three friends or... Perfect example, right? I've called Tim, doesn't answer. He'll call me, I'll answer. He's like, hey, man, sorry. I wasn't feeling people these last couple of days. So I'm like, all right, I'm fine with that.
He knows it.
Yeah.
We'll snap each other. In talking mood today, I hate people.
Yeah. Like, you asked me for the address for this place. I saw it. Yeah, I opened it. Didn't respond. Then I just forgot about it.
I was like, he'll text me tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Call me. Call me. Whenever you need to talk to me, call me. Yeah,
I figured.
I'll almost always answer my phone. Like, unless I don't want to talk to that person, I'll always answer my phone.
That's kind of how I am, too.
Yeah. Especially, like, Instagram. I don't have notifications on Instagram. So, like,
you may not
get a response.
I started texting on Instagram, and I was like, wait. You have his phone number. Just text. Like,
yeah.
And I was on the train, so...
Like, if I'm talking to someone on Instagram, I'll keep checking it. But, like, if you just, like, have a thought, and then it may not reach me for a little bit.
Fair enough. Let's see. And then, obviously, we met Logan because...
Yeah,
he was here when I came
up. Yeah, I'm just the guy.
He's that guy.
Yeah, lugging the loose guy.
And how did you two meet? I know you guys
met. The first time I actually met you was when you bought that motor off me.
Yeah.
I think so.
Other than briefly at GLD, but
again, like, I don't remember anyone at the track.
I really don't think we even exchanged names back then.
Yeah, so, and I probably just thought you were raw.
Probably. But yeah, I'd say the first time actually talking was when I bought the motor off of you.
I like that deal because it was like, I sold it to you for the price of a blown up one, but I was like, it should be good, but like, you know, it's sat for a couple years now, and I did drift on it for like six events without like an AccuSump or anything, but you said it was fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, all the heads looked fine.
The only reason I would have ran that motor if I had to, I just had an aluminum block that I had the option to take. So I switched it, obviously. But I had like 26 PSI, like hot oil pressure, like hot, damn, which is like normal for an LS, like 18 plus is usually fine. Yeah. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, the whole thing is going to get redone now.
Yeah.
Ross stole my camshaft to put on a customer's vehicle, so.
You're getting a good deal out of an X-ray.
They're upgrading me for one that can handle boost.
So you want to buy an aluminum block? I have an aluminum 5.
Is it a Gen 4?
I have a Gen 4.
Yes, both, I think. Or if it's not a Gen 4, it might be like a Gen 3, like LS2 style, which has the Gen 4 rods, 99% sure.
Is it the Gen 4 crank?
That's a questionable thing because those two engine 2.5-3s or three, I had three total. They had weird, depending on the year and anything, it could have been a 24X or a 58X.
I need the 58.
Yeah, I got a stock ECU.
So check that this week.
I'll just trade you the motor back.
No, I don't have an iron block back. I have another iron block I should get rid of. I've got fucking two LS1s, an LS2 block, a 5.3 short block, aluminum block one. So it's like an LH9, I think, and then a LM7 iron block, short block. All knee rebuilds except for the one that's in my car.
Yeah, I'm about to buy a BTR crankshaft for it.
Mm-hmm.
The Summit Pro Racing LS
rotating
piston kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then send it with those.
Yeah.
That sounds like a whole lot of money.
Not as much as you probably think.
That's yeah, it's not bad.
$1,500 probably for that setup.
So the BTR crankshaft was like roughly $800-900.
Really?
And yeah, Texas Speed offers one for like 600. It's like mid 600. And then the piston kit with no rods was like another 600. I gotta find and look up the.
Do you know who makes those Summit pistons?
Not
Summit
sure.
Summit doesn't. We all know they don't. No. Someone else makes them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's whatever. Yeah. Ross ran the same setup in his pink car.
Yeah.
So if it was good enough for his abuse,
just
it should be.
Just not rocker arms. Just not Summit Racing rocker arms.
Yeah, no.
At RJ.
Broken in half.
At RJ.
I was going to do.
I wonder why they did that, because like stock LS rocker arms, like OEM ones are a dime a dozen. Like they're literally like everywhere.
Yeah. I was advised to do like the LS7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they're all the same except for the LS3s. Maybe I don't know if the LS7, are they like the same as LS3 probably?
I think they're just a little bit more durable.
Maybe. Because there's like cathedral port. There's pretty much cathedral port ones and square port ones. But like the LS7's a different square port. It's like different. So like maybe the rock arms could be a little different.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So obviously you've got a collection of things, and I'm sure you've had a collection of things in the past. I was looking through your Instagram, and I saw you had a Bug Eye.
Yeah, lifted Impreza. Yeah, Bug Eye.
You would BMX'd and you were into gaming. So something I heard it on a podcast, and me and you talked about this a while ago, of why is it most drifters or most motorsports and like active motorsport competitors were BMXers or skateboarders at some point.
I feel like it's adrenaline rush probably. And then they usually stop BMXing or skateboarding because they don't want to get hurt anymore.
Yeah. And so you just hurt your wallet.
Like the number one person I always remember, I usually hear it from is like Adam LZ. He only doesn't BMX anymore because of his back. Because it hurts when he rides.
I mean, that makes fair. A lot of sense. Because you used to skateboard and BMX a little bit. Did you?
Yep. I was a fat kid that BMXed, though. Let's all be for real here. I'd just try to jump down staircases. I wasn't good at tricks, bro. I had the 180 down. Tim out here was shining. I was scared to do
like
the spine.
I flat toe, though. Like, once
bro,
I could, like,
I was that fat kid that was scared to do the spine because I thought I was going to die. I thought everyone was going to get that video that was going to be the meme for the rest of the fucking life.
We've all died on a spine.
Yeah, no. Nope. To this day, I refuse. I'll ride every other ramp in the park. Tim's like, you're going
to
do the spine?
You don't even have to leave the spine to go over. You've seen
Shut
me,
up.
You have seen me literally roll over it. Like,
don't
you've
even,
seen me
nope.
like literally rub my like chain
I,
and crank.
I have
my, sprocket
it's just
against
that
it.
Fat petrification, bro. I'm not fat anymore, but bro, I'll tell you what, dude. You get me near a spine, I start getting shaky. I'm like, no.
There's a cool little skate park in the city.
Is there a spine?
That concrete one? No. That concrete one that's like in the city?
I'm just joking.
I think so. It's yeah. it's like a 80, like 100 feet deep and like 60 feet wide. Mm-hmm.
I think,
like
yeah.
it's a whole gated in park. One. So they actually mm-hmm. they put it up because mm-hmm. kids wanted to skate and
yeah.
whatever.
Yep.
But they had so many problems doing it, like using public property.
Mm-hmm. I've been there a few times.
I never got to use it, but
I haven't been there.
I was an inline skater.
You'd look like an inline skater. Doesn't he? He's got that look to it.
I'm a dude. I used to run. Like that's I tried skateboarding. I was too impatient.
I would love to tell your story about the only other inline skater that kind of looks like you,
oh,
but
God.
It is way too like rated R to say the story on a podcast.
We'll have to do this after.
Yeah, it's disturbing how bad like this human was.
Oh, that's special. Damn it, man.
That's like the only inline skater I remember from the skate park, and he just would say things and then ride off, and you're like.
How are you alive, sir?
Not even alive, just like, how are you not in jail?
Yeah, it's
out- like, God. What just came out of this guy's mouth? And he was like 35, and we're all like 17. Oh. We're like,
bro, he was skating when the peak of skating was a thing in like the mid-2000s.
He had his laptop
bro.
In his back pocket.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Yeah, I liked that in like speed skating, but I ran. Mm-hmm. I started getting into BMXing and BMXing a little bit, but...
I like running, but I like broke my ankle so many times that I actually like, I want to say like run crooked in a way.
Really?
I can feel the difference.
You got, a little,
like,
you got a little gimp to them. You know what I'm saying?
My left ankle, like it doesn't bend in a certain way.
So
a little gimpy
yeah.
running.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice until I started running. I'm like, it doesn't like hurt. It just makes it like almost like awkward.
It's annoying to do it because like it doesn't, yeah.
Like I can run like a few miles. And
got
stuff,
them shin
like,
splints.
Between like 2 and 5 and then like.
That's just called old age coming up on
it. Yeah, it's just like weird. It's just weird to do it. Because my ankle doesn't like how it's like, you know, like a 90 degree angle. It doesn't bend up anymore.
It just
breaking it so many times.
Oh, God.
And
doesn't do the thing anymore.
Like I would like break it. And then like as soon as I could walk on it, I'd start walking. Like I remember the last time I broke it. I was in crutches for like 3 days. And it was like
how'd you
school.
Break it?
Fucked
up and missed a jump.
Is that the time that you left remember. The pee? We put peas on your ankle and then we couldn't find the peas when
no,
we woke up?
That was like middle school or something. I don't remember. I broke them so many times, like upwards of like 7 times with my ankle or so.
Well, now I see why your shit doesn't move.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then it was somebody to do physical therapy.
It's
and
a
I wouldn't.
Strong
and then,
ankle,
like, though. So, like, the last time I was like, I don't know, sophomore in high school and they put me in a boot or whatever. And then they kind of stopped doing casts as much as they could. And then they put me in a boot and the crutches. And like 3 days in, I just was like done with the crutches.
You're like, just walk.
Like, yeah.
Just gimping around.
And like, I just started like walking out really carefully and it was fine.
Did you Forrest Gump it?
What is that? I don't get that reference, to be quite honest.
So it's when he had his like, his whole lower body in a brace and he has to start running and slowly works loose. So he starts actually running.
Breaks off and he's like, I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm running.
And he just didn't stop.
Yeah,
just
yeah no,
stop,
I'd like walk
bro.
On it carefully, and then like I remember walking back into the orthopedics, and they're like
why
are you walking like on the boot? I'm like, it's just fine. You're gonna tell me it's not broken, and they did.
They're like, oh, it's broken. Oh shit.
Yeah, I was just
actually
careful.
A spiral fracture now.
Fuck.
Shit.
They were trying.
There was something like my wrist because I broke some weird bone like somewhere in my wrist, and apparently it's like the. Longest healing bone in your body, so like they're like, yeah, you'd be good
right
in like
back here.
Yeah, yep. It'll be like 6 weeks, and they can't see it in a normal X-ray because it's under shit. So they had to do an MRI like at least four months after.
11 weeks
it.
Later,
yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, this one's still broken, and I'm like, oh, so like the entire
fucking hello.
That was like my entire like freshman year of high school. I pretty much had a wrist.
This guy's dropping
thing on
stuff
or whatever.
Every 2 seconds.
I don't know what's going on. Everything
first,
it's falling
first
apart.
He spills his beer. He doesn't even take a sip of it yet. Then he knocks the mic to the floor and
bro,
stops his
stop.
Phone and the
All
vape.
Right, listen, it happens.
That's a nice pretzel. Look at that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So not catch the mic with the fucking plastic.
Mute his ass.
I just did, and you
it's
too.
Like...
Eat away, dude. So let's see. What was your favorite game?
Mine muted.
Yes.
Video game?
Yeah, when you were playing, because I saw you had a, I don't want to say it was a decent setup.
I say like, it's really, I would say, and it's like mine's old now, but like it's.
But at the time, it looked like a really good
like now,
for the time.
Like now, I've got like a triple 27-inch like Samsung monitors and 1070.
I'm starting to really not like this guy right now.
And then once I get like my room back down, I just pay my room, so it's like all fucked up. I'm getting like an 84 to go on top of the screens TV, and it's the same width as the three screens combined, and it's
per
and it's
hold
an
on.
Inch.
Pause.
All
you're not getting.
Do
you're getting a.
What you guys
you're
know
getting a
what
wall
he's gonna do.
Put up.
Yeah. Well, that's just to watch TV on in my room.
Oh,
but
so
quote
like
unquote.
But
TV.
I don't like when the screens don't match up. So it's 80. The 84 inches exactly the same width as the three monitors on the table. So it'll be like a big square essentially.
I mean that makes sense.
And then like, it's an inch. It'll be an inch from the ceiling and an inch from the monitors.
Take notes, Nate. Thrace. Nate, when you listen to this, take notes too because we need to do some dumb shit like this.
But it's like a 1070 graphics card, like some i5. It's like from like 2018.
It's still
gonna
run
yeah.
plenty of the games out now.
And I don't really play other games. So back to that. The only three games I'll ever buy ADD. Anymore are RuneScape. It's like the long
hell yeah.
Yeah. But I play RuneScape 3, sorry. It's gonna piss you off.
I haven't played it in
okay.
Years.
So like the more up to date one, not the old school mm-hmm. one. GTA and like barely fours or Call of Duty. Those are kind of just phasing out now.
Yeah.
But other than that, I, like I have so many games. I just
fun
never
for
play.
Like a lobby. Like you want to get on, your buddies are on.
Well,
just
Tim's that guy that plays the game for
10 minutes.
10 minutes,
same.
And then
I'm on for a race and I'm off.
And then
like,
we'll shit
Jesus.
Talk, and just sit in the lobby or in
yeah,
the park.
RuneScape, I've got since He's like 2009. I've got I think it's like 12,000 hours on that game.
Damn,
over two accounts.
Sounds about right.
If you, even if you average yeah. it, it Damn. Still looks bad.
No matter what you do.
And I don't play it, like, consistently. So, like...
But when you play,
it's
you
a very,
play.
Like, what do they call it? Not like... It's AFK, but, like, what's the other word for that? What's a word for it? Idle game.
Mm, it's
so, like, you literally could click every 5 minutes, or now it's, like, you could click every 15 minutes now for certain things.
And it'll still show active.
And it's still playing. Like, it's
oh.
still... you're still progressing. So, like, I would... consider like at least half that I'm watching TV or on the computer doing other things at the same time.
Remind me to bring the boom arms next time we do one here because the booms will sit on this table.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the last time we'll be in this shop.
Really? Oh, you moving?
I just don't need a shop. We just had it for the winter.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to take over the lease, but like with the two other guys I was going to have in here and lifts and stuff, it's such an awkward size to have three lifts in here.
I think this would be good for like a two-lit, like two.
For two people to be in here, it'd be great.
And like... You really can't. You'd have to do a. You really can't even do a third lift there. It's
no. It's too weird.
I think two would be plenty with like storage space.
Yeah,
in
but
the
for
quarter.
The price, it's like $1,400 a month for 700 for two people, and like I really don't need a shop. So I have zero issue pulling my engine. I have zero issue pulling my whole car apart in my driveway.
We had
There's
Tim's
no
car down
no
to a bare.
I'll pull that engine
and
we'll pull that engine in like
and
an
it
hour.
And put it all back together
like in your driveway.
Yeah.
In a driveway, yes.
A lift really doesn't do a whole lot for you. It's nice sometimes, but like
I think it's nice when
quick jacks.
Yeah,
even
like,
if a jack stands,
even like, quick jacks like these mm-hmm. would be. How much more could we get done?
A lot, because like, now you're not waiting for the lift to go up or down.
Yeah, it's like oh, you're not sitting on a foot tall jack or a stand. Like you, yeah. you can get a lot more.
Like change an axle on even with the just back jacked up, like it's mm-hmm. not that bad.
No,
if you were to time both of them, like it's probably not much different by the time you rack it.
Yeah.
So,
quick jacks, I think, is a. It's a nice medium for...
Don't crush your finger, though. It hurts like a son of a bitch.
No shit.
Yeah.
No Sherlock.
Yeah. No, from experience.
For you, it'd be like a jungle gym.
You could probably walk under it. Your head
that?
Would hit. Yeah.
Like I could sit under that thing and still have really smooth, dude.
It's like monkey bars.
Muted. There we go. That is one nice thing about the quick
that,
jacks is they go like as tall as like
is
a 6-ton
jack height?
Stand. No.
Close to?
No, that is the
okay.
that is max.
I mean, honestly, like you could still drop an entire drivetrain
like,
and motor.
Yeah, yeah, like this. It's like decently like.
Yeah. Versus.
Yeah, like 3-ton jack stands. I hate 3-ton jack stands.
Yeah, at that point, 6-ton
like 6-ton or like I have both, but like
So we're gonna go buy a bunch of 6-ton jacks, mm-hmm. or I'm just gonna save the money and stop being a.
And I personally like
so
the,
you can stand under it.
Yeah.
I personally like 12 tons. I could actually like sit under 12 tons.
With enough blocks that they give you, you could probably stand under it.
The Blaine's Farming Fleet ones I like better because they're pins. They're not mm-hmm. like the ratcheting style. Mm-hmm. They're less adjustable, but like I like those ones better.
I like to get like the security where if something shakes,
it's a full pin and then like a cotter key or whatever, or pin, or like the ratchet styles are just not that they're unsafe, but like
they suck. They're nice for quick jobs.
Yeah,
like quick easy jobs. Mm-hmm. But like if you're gonna be putting some force on it, yeah, I like the pins. So let's see, we covered that. I think we covered enough for people to kind of get to know.
Yeah.
Know him as far as like younger him. Obviously we met at US here for a drift event. What got you into motorsports and specifically drifting? And what keeps you
remember what made me buy a 240 to begin with.
Let's
go into that. Then eventually I got one. And then, because I bought mine like a month and a half before Adam LZ even like bought one. So it wasn't that, because that was a common thing when I got one. Everyone's like, oh, you got one because of Adam LZ. I'm like, no, I actually had it before he even said anything about it. Like that. Like physically.
Yeah, physically, like more centered to you.
And then the first one I never like ever wanted to drift. And then like that one got totaled by some dickhead. So then I bought another
is this
one
you wire tucked, or is it the second one you wire tucked?
It was like kind of wire tucked. It was like a happy medium, kind of.
Okay.
Like it was like
I creeped
the wires were kind of like nicely like taped up and stuff.
Or
like,
half tuck.
And then like the brake lines were like tucked under certain pinch welds and stuff like that. So like, and it was black engine bay with black like wire loom. So it was as well hidden as I could.
I mean, I saw those pictures. It looked clean. Yeah,
it was.
It looked clean.
It was touching.
You were still in high school or whatever?
I was a senior.
Yeah, so like, I would say for most people, that's a pretty damn good job. Especially how many people are building a car in high school.
Yeah, it looks really nice. The engine bay looked really nice. The outside of the car was like normal '90s whatever, like faded, kind of faded paint. The quarters were already cut by the last owner.
Okay.
And I didn't have the over fenders yet. Didn't matter. I only drove it for 2 months before someone pulled up in front of me.
I saw that picture and I was like,
the strut towers are almost touching the firewall.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. That's a hit.
That's some distance.
Frame rails all crinkled, like everything. Like it was fucked.
Trying to make it a car town car.
Yeah. And he had and he had no insurance either, so that was awesome too.
Of course.
And then how long is it till you got your second? Obviously you've had
the second one. I crashed that one, and I think within a week I had another one.
And you had to
transfer the drivetrain over.
You had it running what, like I want to say within a week after that.
So from pulling the motor in the old one to running in the new one, it was 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Running, like physically running. Driving, like a week. Because I was waiting on like some parts, like the new radiator, intercooler.
Miscellaneous stuff.
Intercooler pipes. Like stuff like the stuff that got damaged in the crash, I was waiting to get shipped.
Okay.
And stuff. And then like a couple other things. Like at that time, I five lug swapped it too. Like all the parts I had sitting for that old car, I just put on the new one right away. And there were some issues, obviously.
So
some of that.
So you knew what you're walking into a suit. Like, all right, I know I have to do this, these parts.
Like I five log swapped it and put my Cosmoses that I had bought that summer, and then they didn't fit with the brakes. So then I had to wait for wheel spacers.
Damn.
Which I know you're sitting there going, can you hurry the hell up?
That was like the last thing I was waiting on, because like the Cosmos, like the between the spoke and the face of the wheel, there's like nothing. And the four piston brakes are like massive. So like, I need like an inch spacer, and even an inch space is like that much gap or something.
So it was enough to clear.
Yeah. But you literally couldn't drive with the wheels on there like that without the spacer. So okay. It was like literally ready to drive, put the wheels on, didn't go anywhere. Yeah. And then it hit the coilover too with the first drive. The camber or whatever, like the camber bolt was like out of adjustment. So then it, like once some of the weight was on, then it hit the coilover. Like it was just like it was that close, and then it hit it, and I drove down the street. And
you're like, let me go back home and park this shit.
Yeah.
So you got a question to pop in with?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm gonna just ask kind of like the standard ones. So you got 240s. What got you into drifting? Like, was it? I'm gonna
crashing
ask
that one, and then having a piece of shit.
And then, like, knowing you can beat the hell out of it and
not care at that point.
So, like, how did you discover drifting? Like, as silly as it is, like, did you catch it? I'm like,
that I probably would say Adam LZ. I remember watching all of his, like, progression videos at the beginning. Okay. That probably. I remember that like really well, or like Haggard Garage probably. Okay. Also, it was probably Haggard Garage first, those, and then Adamo's. Like Haggard Garage was Haggard Garage. Adamo's, he actually was like half decent of a YouTuber. So like,
fair. I mean,
yeah.
I think for me it was Need for Speed Carbon, the little drift events that they had.
The first Need for Speed, I never got that game. I never played any of those up until Undercover, and Undercover was such an underrated one. Yep. Like, I always say, like, oh, I loved Undercover. They're like, I never played that. And they, like, say, like, Most Wanted or all these other ones. And, like, I'm not sure how much customization there was on that, but, like, Undercover was, like,
yeah.
Like, you could change everything on it. Like, the hood, like, you'd, like, start with one hood, and it would look completely different by the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of like the cop things, because, like, you'd, like, the more you would race and the more the cops would chase you, the more wanted you were. So like, I had like a Lambo in that game. It was like literally completely wanted. So like, as soon as you saw a cop, there'd be like 20 cops on you.
And you're driving your ass off.
Well, yeah. So like that car was only for racing. So I'd get in it, leave the garage, teleport to the race, start the race. It never got drove on the street. Cause then in that game too, I think if you got caught, especially at that point, you lost it. It was gone. Yeah. And that car was so well like tuned or whatever, so set up, and I had like all the graphics on it and everything. I was like, I'm not losing this fucking car.
No.
It was like my favorite car.
What did you what got you into drifting, or who got you into drifting? I should ask that, like who, but
I guess I was never really into cars.
We know who did it.
Well, I was never really into cars kind of growing up or anything. And then throughout high school, I remember seeing Tim do his things because he had his lifted Subaru, and then I saw the 240 in the school parking lot. Like this, that, and the other. I always appreciated cars. I never thought I would, you know, be dicking with them as much as I've done. What really got me into cars was Tim and I kind of just hanging out again because I had a car problem, and I called him one day and he's like, well, is your check engine light flashing? And I'm like, oh baby, she sounds like she's got a cam. And he's like,
stop driving the car.
No, he goes, how far are you away from home? I'm like 10 minutes, brother. Just he's like, just get this stupid piece of shit home.
What kind of car was it?
It was a 2004 Pathfinder. Oh. It was a 4-liter.
So you get
oh yeah.
So he always has been around Nissan apparently.
Well, no, I don't know. I knew like Tim and I were
not those pieces of shit.
Yeah. I hate this. I will say the Pathfinder, I think was it like an 04? It had the supercharger on. That was pretty badass, cuz that was like one of the first SUVs that had boost and the 2000s. Had one.
The Nissan Xterras.
It's just like the baby version of that. Like the same.
Yeah.
Same
idea. Yeah, Xterra.
Those early 2000s, if you see the Xterra, and I think they only offered them in yellow, was with the supercharged.
Yellow and I think gray.
I don't think I've seen a gray one. I've only ever seen them in yellow.
I know we had a customer with a yellow one. I thought I saw a gray one. But there's like a specific design if you see it, like it, you know, like right away.
Trim and stuff or something.
Yeah, it's something, but it's super minute. Like if you look at it at a quick glance, you don't notice it. But there's one little thing.
Yeah,
they're still fucking ugly.
Oh yeah, I hate. Oh,
they get like 13 miles a gallon.
Oh no, mine exclusively gets. It's like 9.3 because it's got the calculator. Oh, it's fucking
think about that.
Terrible.
That's like what my dad got in his Excursion.
Yeah,
that's what you get towing a car in a trailer.
I don't know what I get my like. My trailer truck setup, but I want to.
I'm gonna guess you get like 9, 8, 9 on so the way. Duramax diesel,
yeah. So, like, I know I can go to US Air.
I say it's what 12,
or I think US Air is like 100.
Mine's at like 10 when I calculated miles. It the other day.
My BMW's at like
10 and a half.
That math scared 22. Me. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, my BMW is like 22 now. Oh, I love it. That's the reason why I did.
There's no fucking way I get less than a semi. Yeah. No fucking way.
If that's a good chucking it out.
I'm still using the work truck for fucking my trailer. That was the case.
I guess Tim and I were always friends throughout like life. I guess we grew up doing BMX, and then high school happens, and then I just knew he was always into cars, so I just called him like, "Hey man, I don't know what's really going on."
7.4. I'm gonna say 7.4.
7.4, and that's like if. About 36 gallons. It could be give or take.
But that's tools, trailer.
Yeah, car. The trailer weighs 13,000 pounds loaded.
Okay.
The truck and trailer combined, if I have four people in the car, it's like 21,000 total or 22,000.
It's not that bad.
No.
Not with that additional weight. Now, if your truck hits at normal, looking at you, Logan.
Oh, you call me fat, huh? No, I said saying some things, huh?
Your Pathfinder just sucked.
Oh, dude, it. Yeah. Oh, it. Yeah, that's the reason why it's sitting.
Yeah, that's in the driveway. Usually doing like my 70. Uncle's house. It'd okay. probably be better if I did like 60.
But well, just,
probably.
Or just be Ross and do fucking 90 with the trailer. Apparently,
I don't do that. I don't go that in fast anymore because tires are not.
Bob did that on the way to Florida for the Clutch Kickers event in his F-250. He had the flatbed with
gooseneck with two cars.
His E46 and Ross's S13 on it, and we're all convoying down there. Bob's got cruise control set at 90-95 the entire way, and then on the way back was that a snowstorm that we had. And he's still cruise control set at like 80.
Yeah, no thanks.
I mean, like, I'm sorry, with that additional weight, you can be 40 or 80.
Your tires are only rated for like 75 miles an hour.
I was in a 04 Suburban back then too, and as soon as we hit snow, the whole thing started sliding. I'm like, okay, I'm at like 40, and it's still sliding.
That thing probably had enough weight behind it that it was just like.
Or we just didn't care.
I said, yeah, if I'm crashing, I'm crashing.
Stopping, brother.
It took us roughly about 24 hours to drive back home from Florida. Yeah,
I was almost going to go to that, but that was when I was building this car. Mm-hmm. And my other car was still like in one piece, but I didn't want to spend the money to go down there. But I was like, after I saw it, I'm like, I'm happy I didn't go. But I was also like, I would have stayed in fucking Tennessee overnight or something like that and just waited to come home.
It was funny. Yeah. So, like, Jacob Kraft went.
Yeah, him and Royce got fucking stuck in the ditch, I think, twice.
Royce was playing Candy Crush and completely missed the turn.
Ross is, like, waiting, stuck in a ditch, waiting to get pulled out.
Yeah, Royce was they were on the side of the road for, like, 10 hours or something ridiculous. They literally ran out of diesel, too.
It was, like, two tow trucks that came. The first one that came wasn't equipped to pull him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they could have at least froze to death. They were, like, on the edge of freezing to death.
Yep.
That's insane.
Jeez. All to go to Florida.
See, this is why I can't wait to get home. My first drift event, like, on a travel road. That'd be fun. So, you kind of got into that off, we'll say, Adam LZ drifting. Mm-hmm. What was the first place you drifted? And what was your first event you drifted?
GLD, Drift Shy Shit.
Okay. I know exactly what you mean. But
everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say shy shit. You see that they did that competition in Rockford at the end of last year? They did like another like hostile takeover or whatever at Rockford, and they promoted the hell out of it, or at least they tried to. Mm-hmm. Did you realize they didn't post shit after that event?
I did not know.
They posted like the beginning of the day. Yeah. I didn't see anything after that posted about that event. So that tells me it didn't go that well.
I know they had a good turnout on the last race for Rockford.
Yeah, that was Elite Tuner. That was my favorite event. And that was an Elite Tuner event, so I think Elite Tuner events are just big in general, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which that'll be at Cancana Cougars in Geneva this year, which is like 10 minutes from my house. It's going to be so nice. It's going to cost me nothing to drive that event.
It's a four-minute drive.
I'm going to make I'll be changing tires.
I'm so mad at you right now. It's a 45-minute drive.
Last year when we went, I took the bike. It took me a minute and a half.
We won't have to sleep in the trailer. Oh, my God.
I might still drop my shit off the night before, though.
I could see you dropping off, rolling in at like 7 a.m., be able to kind of relax and have some
waking fun. Up 10 minutes before that.
Yeah.
Wakes up at 6:45, stops at McDonald's or gets...
It doesn't start till like 10 or noon. Like that's when like the feature drivers move
in. This guy's going to wake up at 8:45, stop and have lunch on the way there and leave the restaurant minutes away.
I don't eat while I drift.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact, Tim does not. I've probably spent hundreds of dollars buying him food and going, hey, Tim... It's right here. He looks at it, goes,
I'll eat it
later.
Just don't have like an appetite.
He goes, all right, cool. He walks away. And then it'll be like the end of the day and it'll be all cold. And he's like, damn, my food's all cold. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I remember you bought me a burger once and Bob took a bite out of it. Oh my God. I was going to eat it. I'm like, I just lost my appetite. Not even just from him eating it. I had like intentions to eat it. And then I saw there was a bite out of it. I'm like, I wasn't even disgusted. Right? I just didn't feel like eating it.
He's like, okay, well, you took my joy out of it. Thanks.
Yeah. You took my like will to eat that and just
And Tim lives on White Monster, Smart Water.
I don't even drink that. Juice. Everyone makes it seem like I drink like 10 Monsters during the day. And what it is I'll crack one open, sip three sips,
and then leave it.
And
for
then
later.
I leave it in the sun for an hour, and then I just grab another one. You had Modelo's and you didn't tell Logan?
No, he told me.
Oh, he did.
He told me.
Yeah, oh, there's no lime.
Shut up. That's probably what it's missing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah, open mind so I don't spill it on me. That's a common experience.
Because he's a child.
I am.
So what was the... Thank you.
You should just put Tim's button.
I'm just literally going to start doing T. So what was your first competition you competed in?
That was a daily drift round one at GLD, like the first ever one.
Yeah, that was the first comp I went to in a sense.
Drove practically perfect all practice and then fucked up both laps during competition. It didn't help.
I was like, what is this guy doing?
It went from driving to some kid with a BRZ that wasn't driving very well to him crashing. I had a fire run. And then Colin up against me.
Damn.
And then on my follow run, I expected Colin's car to be like really fast off the line. It's not that fast off the line. So I jumped him and then I lost him. Like I had looked, turned my head around and saw him go, meow. I'm like, oh, there he is. Like
I think his car is one of those, like, it's, he almost has to baby first gear.
He starts in second.
Yeah. Really? Okay. That's what the ride along I went on, I was like, I watched him hit first. He goes, straight to second. And then
but even when I start in second, at the round I won at US Air, I don't know if you noticed that much, I kept going off track on the first turn because I was doing 1-2 and then having to handbrake, and that was just too short of a run up to like do everything. So then I just started in second and it was still fast off though. Like if you watch the video between me and Colin, now he probably wasn't full throttle either, but I probably put half a car on him or something on the run up.
So short. Mm-hmm.
That's just the track, though. There's not really a way not to do that with that track, in that section of the track.
Especially when some of those cars were putting up power.
Yeah.
I would say power for especially grassroots or pro. And
definitely
pro
now at this point. But now that they put the 245 rule in, that'll help. It's not going to get rid of it. Like, I could still do it I only make 400. I make a gripped up 400, so I could just grip it up more.
Yeah, Colin was not 400 horsepower.
Yeah, he's eight. But on that track, it's a leveler. That track's it levels it. It still levels it.
That's one thing I like about, I guess, kart tracks in general, is at least that I've been learning of, is you could have a 240 horsepower Miata and a 600 horsepower Corvette, and if it's a tight enough track, it'll level it out. But now if you go into something like
an oval
or
road course.
Yeah, like in a track.
No fucking chance.
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of struck.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I like that.
Milwaukee Mile, I could run away from an E36. I could put bus lengths on that.
And just
because I'm in I was in, I think, third.
But at US Air, they're on his door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They can be.
Get off my door.
Adam Billings.
And I can slow my car down enough. I've had Royce at GLD. Drive with him. When I lead, I just left foot brake really hard so he can stay on me, so I'm not just running away from him. And it doesn't, bog down or anything, a super high horsepower might sometimes if it's gripped up.
Okay.
And then I can still follow, KMR or, Ross or Colin at GLD usually.
Okay.
They're still a little faster, but, it's not unmanageable.
It's you can play with it enough to make it.
Yeah. Inch of towing in the rear.
That so we're not doing that ever again. That was a lot. Half to three quarter, max.
No.
An inch was fun on a test day when there was nothing rocket out there. Ships. It was fast. And then cones got put out, on a different day we went with the layout. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't perfect on, even if you were online, it went straight and it took you offline. That's how much forward bite was in the car. It literally wanted to push you off of line. And I would
literally. So that'd be good for Gingerman.
That much grip?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a pretty, I don't want to say only a couple. Most of that track, I feel like with your car setup, you could lay out pretty well.
It's got long sweepers, a lot of straightaways on it. Mm-hmm. So it'd be more ideal in a setting like that than
it's only spot I'd be worried about is Spectator Hill. First initial right in towards Spectator Hill.
And I have a feeling I'm going to get to 600 horsepower and stay there. 400 now, top, third at Rockford, it was kind of hard. You got to bump the tire pressure up to 40.
Yeah.
To be able to run the bank half decent. Even so, it was pretty shallow angle. And then, if I want to do fourth gear ever, I don't think I would do fourth. Maybe at Milwaukee Mile, I could do fourth because it's so flat.
Yeah.
But obviously, a bank's literally trying to push you down it, and you're trying not to be pushed down it. So I think I have a LS2 I just picked up that. Built with some LS3 heads, higher compression, 5-something horsepower, maybe.
Should be good.
Because once you hit the supercharger, 1A big money stuff, and then
You're cracking.
I don't know what the minimum. Like, obviously, you could probably make have it set up where it doesn't really do anything, but like realistically, it's probably gonna be like 700 with like an LSA if you already have a built motor.
So Ross's goal for my car, or his original thought for mine, with an LSA supercharger on it, completely maxing out the supercharger, you'd be right around 800.
800 for a LSA is like max effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good number. Like I said, people got to know you, how you got into drifting. I want to know, as a competitor, how do you prepare for events, and what's your mindset before? Like, are you nervous? Are you trying to run through the track? Like, what do you do before an event, and what's your mental state or emotional state with that? Of
is the car together or not together?
Yeah, honestly, I hate competitions now, to be quite honest. The like mental stress of not even like the competition itself, like just the prep in my mind is the worst part. Because I like rethink, like, and I'm a truck driver, so I literally am in my head all day long, and I'm all
safety check,
my head in circles of the same things, like same seven thoughts, like going
did,
through my head.
Did I actually tighten that?
Yeah, so not even like is not even like tighten. Right? I'm usually not worried about that. It's like things I have to do or something or should do, like fix this thing or like do this differently or.
I've gotten some text messages like
even down to like cleaning the trailer before
you
leave.
when you get off work. Like, all right, big pop. Gotcha.
I hate showing up to the track with like the trailer all fucking like disorganized. It always like goes home unorganized generally, but like.
But you like showing up organized. Yeah. So when you
everything's in where it's supposed to be.
So when you need it, or like at the Milwaukee Mile, at least that was loud.
That was a big one.
At least like when we went to the Milwaukee Mile, and Ross put his shit into the wall. Tim's like, "Hey, go grab this. It's in this spot." I instantly knew where it was, and at least, like, when stuff's organized and someone needs it, I can be like, hey, grab this, or somebody at least with our, like, trailer or, like, our team can at least grab it and get it to somebody in need, because rather have it than not have it.
That was a funny event, because, like, Ross and Colin both broke their shit at different points, and, like... Like, Ross, I feel like I had more shit. I was more prepared than they were.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just both bought their trailers, though.
Probably.
I think they just bought the stacker, and Ross just bought the enclosed, so it wasn't, like, fully set up yet. But, like, I also, like, anytime I use one tool on the car, I try to put it in the trailer.
Yeah.
So, like, I've got, like, full connector kits, like, tap and die sets.
Yeah.
Chase, like, even the Chase set.
Tim's big. If he sees bundles, like the tester. Little plastic containers. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's huge on those.
If I need one, I just buy a kit.
Yeah.
Like, if any one cotter key, I buy a cotter key kit kind of thing. One O-ring, I buy a whole kit.
Whether you need it or somebody else might need it, it's you have it available.
Yeah. Like, I probably have, like, a tote, like, this big. There's full of those plastic kits.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You never know.
Rib nut. I have rib nut kits, oil pressure tester, leak down tester, compression tester.
Rather help like somebody out and keep somebody's day going.
Multiple wideband sensors.
You don't know how far somebody's traveled or what they've done to get to the event.
I usually have a handful of like inner tie rods and outer tie rods.
If you can spend the hour and we got the tools to fix your shit, might as well fix it.
Like welder. You have to come to my house one time and like look at, or even at the track, like there's two generators, welder, air compressor, tire machine.
Like you've got a shop set up boxes. Ready to go.
Yeah, there's stuff like there's like a steering rack on the ceiling, a steering column on the ceiling, coil packs on the ceiling, bash bars on the ceiling.
You got it
right. Maybe four tire racks in there this year instead of three.
What the hell?
Like six jugs of fuel, probably eight of those, like 30 something gallon, whatever those yellow totes are, like eight of those. Mm-hmm. There's like six more smaller ones now. 'Cause we're getting rid of a cart that had a bunch of stuff in it. Like I had like a whole toolbox full of little, just like spare bolt, like a drawer of bolts, drawer of wiring stuff, everything.
Jesus.
Is there something that you need? There's probably a high chance that it's in the trailer somewhere. You might not know where it is at the point.
I am the most likely to have it at the track, at least. At minimum, I'm the most likely.
Yeah, let's at least
like I care. I have a bag of tire valves, like wheel valves or whatever.
Just in case.
Yeah. Because like I'll change them for some people sometimes. Like that thing looks like shit, so I'll just pop it out and put a new one in.
Something you'll never think of.
They literally cost 15 cents. I'll usually try to sell them to a person for like $5, but like if it's that bad, it just cost me 15 cents. I just charge them 15 for the tire.
Like, oh, here's a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Like,
they literally cost like $15 for 100.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
If you could give somebody advice for prepping for an event, as far as like how to keep yourself, it's their first event. first time going, what's a few things that you would recommend to them that would make it a little bit easier where they're not super overwhelmed? Or even like a tip, like...
I'd almost just say talk to everyone.
Okay. That's kind of what I was hoping you would say.
No one cares that you're spinning out.
Just no talk one, to people.
I have never met someone that actually gets mad at someone spinning out. The only time I've ever been mad if someone's doing that is if like they're spinning out and then like almost like backtracking on the track to try again, if that makes sense. Like they're not continuing from where they failed.
My car might blow away.
Like I've seen them like spin out and then they're facing the wrong way and then they kind of go back and like turn around again and then try to hit the same
like
thing.
Like a redo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
would you say after the second time you spin, just get off course?
Not even that. As long as you're progressing through the course. I mean, there's almost like a time limit though. Like if you keep spinning out, like one turn after another, like you just kind of cut your losses or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like go back, ask somebody, hey, can you go for a ride along? What do you recommend?
Yeah.
Or like, hey, for me, I liked it when they had the figure eight setup at GLD just because it was a simple setup.
That's how I kind of literally did. When I first started drifting, I like quit my job because I was pissed off and I had like a bunch of money saved. So I just went drifting every Tuesday at GLD for like, for between like August and like the time they closed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I got like 90% of my progression from. Cause they'd be like, and that at that time, like GLD drifting wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So like, it was just Chi-Town. It was just Chi-Town.
You could learn your transitions in the car. You can learn how to carry that drift.
The most cars I ever saw that at the, those like six or eight times, whatever it was that I went, there was like four cars.
Yeah.
Like it was literally unlimited seat time. Like people were just waiting for their cars.
When I went with my G,
and you could go out there for like 2-3 minutes. As long, like everyone kind of knew how long you could be out there.
Cause there was only a few people allowing like 12 car trains going through it.
Yeah. But even now, like even if you go on a Tuesday now, like you kind of get to go out there for like a minute or so. Like it depends on how many people are there. Like I was there last year and like we got there right at the end and there was like pretty much no one out there. So like, I'd probably pretty much go until like either a couple cars kind of piled up or like just a normal amount, like a minute or two.
Yeah, because the line can...
A minute or two is a long
time.
Like
on a Sunday, the lines get real long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just stop driving. If I have to wait more than like 5 minutes in grid, I don't...
I think one of the last times I went there, it stormed and my window switch got wet and just shorted itself.
Yeah.
It fucked itself, so...
I don't drive in the rain either, though.
It was... my driver window was fully down. My passenger window was a majority of the way down. Mm-hmm. And my wife was sitting in the passenger seat and we're like, fuck, we're parked under a tree. We're already soaked. May as well go out one more time. Mm-hmm. We went out and the whole skid pad was flooded. Mm-hmm. So you'd start and immediately into like a lake and it just shifted the whole car.
I had
car
to drive back. The last round of Daily Drift last year, or I guess third round, not the last one, but, was not happy.
Well, we had to drive.
I got like one good practice lap.
We made that hour and 40-minute drive home in the rain, too, with the windows open. It wasn't fun.
Sounds like Pritz and Mike when he took his crash run up to USA in the rain and shit. Like,
Yeah, it was a soggy ride.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it was.
I like my truck and trailer. I'll stick with that.
Yeah. I need to get a trailer. I got the truck.
Yeah.
So I got one more quick question for you. Just kind of ask a bit of it. What are a few safety things you'd recommend to somebody who's never gone to an event or needs a reminder as far as it could be as could be something, anything. What's a safety thing you'd recommend to somebody and why would you recommend it?
I want to say like a seat and harness would be like the number one thing.
Okay.
Like as in like an upgrade, like it could be even like a Chinese seat or whatever.
Yes, an upgrade, like a better seat to hold you more stable.
Like I just ran like Chinese brides for the longest time; they were fine. And like that was when I crashed my first car. I was in the Chinese bride, and they didn't break or anything. And I hit the guy at like 50 miles an hour.
Shit,
damn!
And I didn't move an inch, and the seat was fine. Other than that, like unfused circuits bother me a lot.
So like proper wire, electrical.
Yeah. At least put an inline fuse on that. If you're going to wire like a dickhead, at least put an inline fuse in there. Like I literally have like those like Amazon inline fuse things for if I have to do something really fast.
For R240, I went to Rural King and got their wiring harnesses because it's got inline fuse and relay in it too.
I like that.
Yeah. And you can get away with the, like most switches are like rated for like at least 15 amps, I think, 10 or 15 amps. So like, yes, you can get away. Like last year, that's how it kind of was. Like I just didn't inline fuse stuff, except for like the fans. But that was the fuel pump, and I think I burned out the switch. But I think it was because the fuel pump was going out and drawing more amps, and that's how it burned out the switch. Because like the next event or something, the next event, the fuel pump was like dropping pressure. So,
I'm sure you've had some interesting stories as far as events that happen to you, what's the worst thing that's happened to you so far drifting?
The week of US Air.
Week of US Air?
The first time.
That's not the worst thing. I would say the most, like, I couldn't understand. It was, I didn't, like, drift for, like, a whole year just because of work. And then, I got the angle kit on and everything, and then it fucking snowed on the day I was going to go up there. And then, that was just done for the season. And then I stuck it back in the trailer. And I was like, the car doesn't need a whole lot. So, I got, a bash bar and, some other, things I didn't need but just got. And then I pulled the car out of the trailer, end of February, just to, start drive it around, get ready, kind of. Drove it, let it idle for 5 minutes. And I'd start it every 2 weeks in the trailer for 20 minutes. Drove up the street. It bogged. And then I got another 100 feet and it just started rod knocking.
Oh.
Oh no.
And that was with the SR20. That's why I don't run SR20s anymore. It literally rod knocked out the trailer. Damn. I pulled out of the trailer, drove up the street, rod knock.
See, I hear a lot of podcasts SR20, God Motor, because they're big SR20 fans.
No.
But they know there's a huge limit of you can get 350.
They're junk.
And you're kind of tapping it.
They're junk. They're junk.
I don't like
SR20s. There's nothing good about an SR20.
I'm not an SR20 guy.
They might sound a better Honda, I guess.
That's fair.
At that point, just case. But swap
I still get pissed off at Funabout because 70% of the cars are SRs.
Mm-hmm. House so music it's and the same, SRs.
All day long.
Yep. He's actually not far off on that.
Is Final Bout.
I also hate US Air, or not US Air, Final Bout in a way, because everything looks nice on the outside, and you start looking at people's engine bays, and you're like, ugh.
If you had to recommend somebody that, obviously with social media and how everything is portrayed, would you recommend somebody to look pretty, or make sure your shit's safe and runs correctly?
That's what I
and
do.
Learn how to drive
my
your car.
My car didn't look half decent until last year, and even then it still wasn't there.
It would have looked so much better if you had the bumpers and the...
It did at the end of the year.
No, I meant August. I saw it at the end.
The full body kit on. The first day of the body kit, we had to take the bumper off. I never got back because the quarter panel got... I was in Chris Hill's exhaust thrown through it.
Damn.
So thanks, it literally lasted a few hours of driving.
Oh, okay.
Which I really like the rear bumper on the 240 anyways. I really don't like them that much.
Depends on the rest of the vehicle.
I might just cut it to a comp cut.
Yeah, I love how that looks. Either,
is that the one where they cut the whole lower middle?
Yeah, either I've got
the top third of it.
Yeah,
there.
And I've got a KVD bumper, and then I might even just try a stock one and just see which style I like.
Mm-hmm.
Or just have nothing. Honestly, I could care less if there's nothing. I like it when
I feel like with the right kit, no rear bumper at all works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
I like being able to see the whole tire and the tubes in the back. Seeing that. When the body kit's on it, you don't see how big of a tire is on it. You don't see any of the tube work and stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, somehow, some miracle, when I built the rear of the car and the fuel cell and everything, the radium emblem on the fuel tank, I think, is right in the plate hole for the bumper.
Nice.
It was a complete accident. So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, if I do run a rear bumper, the exhaust is going to go out of the plate hole at some point through the center. So, if I ever get to that point, I've had those parts for 3 years and I still haven't built the exhaust. So,
fair.
Got $600 in fucking stainless.
Does it just dump out right after the axle?
Right before the axle.
Right before.
It's wherever the midsection of a stock 240 is. Just the cat to whatever to the axle. It's just a 45 downturn right there.
Just the mid pipe.
Yeah, mid pipe. Yeah.
So I want to give at least one more little bit of nugget so somebody can at least come take something away from it, and then we can kind of go into some random bullshit. Because I know I have one hot take I want to ask you about. Two. It's Corvettes and KVD. So we're gonna go on next. We talked about Corvettes
separately or the same?
Separate.
Okay. I'm like, what do you talk about? Do they not do KVD for Corvettes?
I don't know. Maybe they do. But damn it. Damn it.
You forgot it?
I kind of did.
Stupid.
So
that one guy I was talking about, the Daily Drift, one of the sponsors last year, isn't the sponsor this year. Still don't want to talk about it, but I was looking at the picture today and he's not on the sponsor list anymore.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk about that afterwards.
I know. There's a different company that does the same thing though.
I'm gonna have to look at that because we need to talk afterwards. Yeah. I'm curious.
And we like that company. Everyone likes that company. He's a nice guy.
We'll have to Just because, you know, just because we're a sponsor.
He's a great race dad.
Race dads are the shit. All yeah. right. Let me ask you one question is, as obviously, like you guys said, don't be afraid to ask people for help. Would you recommend any drifter or any motorsports competitor or enthusiast to find a track dad or a race dad? Mm-hmm. Or become, like, say, or eventually, would you become a race dad?
He's my race dad.
I was about to say.
Okay, fair.
Do you literally throw him the keys in the car and, like, go have fun?
No.
Didn't fucking idiot.
Yeah. I literally told him to go drive my car. And, like, didn't go that well. I wasn't mad. So, like, it's essentially I'm a dad. Like, I think if you could tell someone to drive your car, you should be fully prepared for them to go fuck it up. And,
like, plan on it.
Literally, it should be totaled. Like, if you don't think, if you're worried about getting totaled, you shouldn't let someone else drive your car.
That's fair.
I like that, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you literally just let that person drive. You can't be mad if they fuck it up. You're literally driving a car sideways.
Yep. And way worse to it than what they will.
Like,
here's a good one. With so many cars being with social, like, I'm going to use social media again because
that's such a bad comparison. Because I could give two shit what people post on social media.
No, I mean, honestly, so this one is like the 240 became pop. Like, people were drifting 240 for years and mm-hmm. nobody knew about them.
Mm-hmm.
And now social media's up. The Corvette in just a handful of years has become the dominant car yeah. next to the Mustang.
Well, and they've
they've
gotten a lot. They've done a lot to to make that car good too.
Yeah. Because
in 2018 when Taylor Ray had it, they literally 3D printed parts to test fit for an angle kit, and they made his angle kit for it. And then I don't know how much longer after that, but then obviously FTF came out with one.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other companies like Destroyer Die or whoever, probably else. But there was no part when Taylor Ray, everyone called him an idiot and it's stupid. And then it's a year or two later, that's literally the best car in competition.
What do you think is a good car somebody can target and still look at in a relatively affordable range? Example, a dead stock 200,000 mile KA240 is 12 grand.
Yeah.
You're out of your fucking mind for a stock.
I bet a Z is probably a bit more than a G. I would just bet, just because the G doesn't look as nice as the Z. In my opinion.
I'd say it depends on the G, because if you're going with the coupe or the sedan.
Yeah.
Sedan. So,
but either one, they probably both drive very similar.
Yeah.
I know one's probably definitely longer, but
by maybe an inch or so. Yeah.
So, your G, good horsepower, pretty very reliable for the most part. Has some weird issues.
What do you think is going to be the next one after that? Because I see the 350 FRSs.
Yeah. They're kind of cheap to begin with. I don't believe they would ever hold their value.
I think the Zs and the Gs are the new age 240s.
Right now.
I
would almost argue that it's the BRZ.
But they're not
GAT 86.
They're still I bet they're still 10
They're
grand.
Still up mm-hmm. there, but there was so many of those
Selvage
cars
Shadow 10 grand,
made
good
that,
condition 15.
Granted, in 10 years, if we have kids, they're going to be like, hey, I bought a BRZ, and then we're going to be slapping ourselves in the forehead like, motherfucker.
I could have had this thing for
$3,000. Not even like that, but they're just going to be like, look at this thing, and it's going to rod knock 2,000 miles in, and you're going to be like, well, this motherfucker. Well, look at a swap or something, because I ain't putting another box in.
Imagine if they put some kind of Toyota four-cylinder in that thing. That thing would live forever.
It would.
That or a K-swap.
What if they make a K-swap for those cars?
Oh, they do. There's a company called his company's called K-Miata. He specializes in K-swaps to anything. He just K-swapped a G35. They K-swapped. Rudge Racing is... K-swaps are becoming
the biggest
huge
thing is just the mounting.
So much power.
For the different cars, because at this point... once they turn the engine, any intake, any aftermarket intake that's designed for the forward facingness or whatever is probably going to work just fine almost any car.
Wasn't Prezza putting a KA in his 300?
I think he did. I think it's drivable, yeah. But that's,
he's got the KA.
I don't think that was as hard as people maybe thought. Maybe it was. I watched a little bit of it, but I don't think it was as bad as
anything. He should work on that fucking motor they have in that 300 ZX.
Fair.
Anything is better to work on that thing.
Heavy, big, crowded.
Before I was even into the cars, I really fantasized about owning one of those. Didn't realize you got to work on the motor. This was before me and Kyle. I was like, dude, that car is sick. That is probably the thank God I never was I want one, because that would have been hell.
I wanted another F body until I started doing maintenance on one a few years back. I'm like, I fucking hate this setup in the engine bay.
Yeah.
I
don't remember. I pulled the engine. Well, so when I pulled the engine out of the F-body, my bosses, when I bought the trans, I just dropped the subframe out of the front.
That's the easiest way to do anything on it.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. And then I guess his was kind of already like street car, drag car, so maybe a lot of the stuff wasn't there.
Yeah, factory ones are kind of a pain in the ass.
You really notice how much you know now versus then, because then I unhooked every single injector and took the harness off instead of just unplugging the one connector. It's like when he went to go put the motor in his Chevelle, he's like, Tim, where are the fucking coil pack harness? Shit. I'm like, harness? Like, it was on the car. We didn't take the engine harness out. He's like, they're separate. I'm like, oh.
Yep.
I fucked up.
And I think I only did one side. Or I think it was one side, because I think I realized it. And then he sold the car, and we only had one side. And then he bought some Chinese one, and they were wired all completely backwards. Like, everything, the pins were all backwards.
Yeah.
So, like, the Chinese harness did not work. Yeah.
Fucked.
Terrible. Check your stuff, people.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, we started talking about Corvettes on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a cheater car.
Anything with a V8's a cheater car when you think about it.
Yeah.
So... With the U.S., with the stateside tracks, absolutely, because our tracks tend to be a little bit more sweeper corners, more straight, so you can build speed.
I just don't like clutch kicking.
I don't...
I've never had to, so...
The V8's a cheat because you can use the power to just...
Literally just push your foot down.
Boom.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Like, well, I almost never kick my clutch. It's always a slip. I just slip it.
We were talking about something on the drive down right before I got to the house.
It was like the Corvettes have been like engineered now to perfection, practically. Like, now they figured out hey, we can take the fucking transaxle out or whatever it's called and put a dog box in the front of a quick change in it. Probably shaved a bunch of weight off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it faster to work on.
Yeah. And by the time you put like the radiant, change all the, probably makes the bias for the weight a lot better. Servicing is better.
Fuck you.
Like, you don't have to pull like the whole C5, rear end out of the car to fucking look at the clutch.
Put an RX-7 front end on and you're good.
I'm going to throw this fucking beer at you right now.
Get fucked. Just buy a C5 at that point.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I would just buy a C6 for the difference. Okay, 20 grand. 15. You have 15 grand to build a drift car. What's your car and what are the first few mods you're going to buy?
Wait, how much do you think a Z is nowadays? Like a
10.
Not like... Not much.
They're 10 or 12 grand now.
Bone stock. Like, not, I'm not.
Dead like nuts, nice. 200,000 miles. You're talking 10 or 12 grand.
I bet like 6,500.
Yeah, around six.
Not the ones I'm seeing.
You must be finding like mint condition.
If I'm finding 240s for 12 grand with 200,000 miles and a crushed back quarter panel.
That's like a whole different category, though.
So let's switch this to manual because that's obviously going to change the price here. Not mileage. That's the wrong
end. When I was looking at buying a Z before I even heard of drifting, it was six, seven grand. And that was like, that's when I had the Black Legacy.
For 6,500, 8,300, nine. Let's just say eight, probably for a half decent one. So that's
for a half decent.
We're calling it 16 grand now. So I have 8 grand left. Okay. Just so it's half my or no, wait, it's price for the marketplace. I got it for seven. He asked eight, I got it for seven. So
yeah.
Ooh, I like how you switched. Good fucking job on it.
So now I got, so that's seven. So I got 8 grand left. Do you already know how to drift?
No, like
that's starter setup.
Starter. Yeah. Like, you kind of know how.
You're building. You're gonna recommend me who's never drifted.
So we're not buying all these parts at once. We're gonna slowly buy these parts, like over the season.
I'm going.
We progress, we're gonna buy these.
It's
parts.
It's my first season.
Yeah, first season. We're gonna start with just the car. You're gonna go out there and you're gonna try. Okay. After that, you can get a steering wheel. A set of coils and a seat. So let's just call that what?
If you had to pick one,
I feel like
of those
you don't
three.
Even need the steering wheel.
It's just nice. Yeah. But let's just call it. I would.
The
I would,
bougie I, factor, I would spend brother. The
money fair.
So let's have some bougie in there. Come on.
So that's 2 grand. You got 6 grand left.
Yeah.
We can stay on the stock wheel. So we're just doing performance now.
And yeah, I kind of stole this and rephrase it from Circle of Drift because he asked.
I saw that. Yeah.
So his thing is, it's your first drift event and you can only use Njuku racing.
Mm hmm.
I wanted to know, for me, if I ever looked into it, how would you build the car?
Because,
again, you have to look at it as, what if I don't like it and I want
to
have mine as a
I'm going to add to his list. Driver. $200, you can get the GK Tech, the minor angle kit for the Z and G platform.
Do you think an angle kit's needed for your first season?
No. I wouldn't say maybe. Like, well, depends how fast you like progress. If you progress really fast, mm-hmm. you can put it on first season. But it's definitely not needed
for
to start.
We'll say for the average person.
So GK Tech doesn't offer a full angle kit like what we have on our cars.
GK Tech anyway.
They have the tie rod relocation bracket to give you a little bit more angle out of
something like
the trash steering.
But like, so like right now I got $6,000 left after the interior stuff.
And we're gonna assume you like the wheels.
Yeah.
Just keep it easy. Yeah. And we're not gonna like it's titled everything.
Yeah. Or whatever, it doesn't matter.
$7,000.
So I got $6,000 left. I'd personally spend like $3,000 on an FDF angle kit and like a handbrake setup, and then that might be overestimated a little bit. I think it's like 15. I don't know. Something like that.
FDF was 15.
Maybe some, and then maybe a couple adjustable arms for the rear or something. Yeah. You don't have to go with like a full rear grip kit.
I think he was saying
you could do the
lower. Or is it upper control arms on the Zs?
Oh, they're that weird bucket shit, don't they? Bucket spring.
Yeah,
shit.
It's, you have to do a true coil conversion on those.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
trash.
In the last couple grand, I can't really think of what the.
Would you say like safety accessories? And
yeah, like
tools
maybe,
and
like harnesses and stuff. Maybe like a 4-point cage.
Butterfly doors.
No. I feel like you can build a Z really cheap if it's just like a basic drift car.
My G had the...
Like, it doesn't have enough power to even have to put a grip kit and, like,
no.
tow it in a bunch. Like, you could probably run all stock.
So, my coupe that I had, I was pulling away from Ross at GLD on the skid pad mm-hmm. with his VQ set up in it. And then I was pulling away from David Valerio and his VHR 37 S14.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all factory on some lowering springs. I had a hydro in it. I never used it. I was mm-hmm. an auto trans and just the tie rod relocation from GK Tech. And that was it.
Like anything after that is like creature comfort or like everything in life has an exponential cost to quality and like performance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like you put a camshaft in an LS, you can get a camshaft for $400. And like, so like at like, if you were to be really cheap, like $600 or $800, you have like springs and some other stuff, and that gets you like between like 30 and 100 horsepower depending on what engine you have. But then you put, let's just say, a supercharger on, you're at like $5,000 or $6,000 to make 200 horsepower or mm-hmm. 300 or something like that. So you're like, yeah, everything's like that.
Yep.
Interesting.
Or you go to Walmart and buy shoes for $30, but then like Nikes are $200.
Hey, don't hate on my Shacks, okay?
No, I'm not saying
I know
that,
I fuck with
but like
Shacks,
everything
to be
honest. Everything's like that
though. No, it's fair. And if you could recommend somebody a setup of stuff to bring to their first few events,
Jack.
Excluding bring your car and water,
Jack and Impact. I'm trying to go back to basics because like even when I was going to the track, I had a tool cart in the trailer. Like
so
more stuff
think
than
of
most
it,
people would.
It's they're just getting into like they can change brakes. It's a general entry 18-year-old kid.
Anything that you would ever have worked on a car with, like basic tool wise, I'd bring. So like I have screwdrivers, pliers,
go out and buy a Harbor Freight or Craftsman starter,
yeah,
300 piece kit,
yeah,
torque bar, impact, jack stands,
fire extinguisher,
yeah, that's Max. that's like a standard
hit though. Up Total Off-Road,
you shouldn't have to think
a lot of
that.
People don't think of it though,
yeah, like I always had one in the car, and now we'll have the fire suppression system. Mm-hmm. Then I'll have one on my side. And I, like, you know, most people's are like this big.
Yeah.
The one I get like the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So, like, cause like I've watched those little ones go, and it's like mm-hmm. 3 seconds and you're done. Like, and it'll fit in my car and it doesn't, you don't touch it. So, like, why would you not get the
It's good
one?
For like a daily driver, just enough to get you out of the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll have one on my side, and then I have another bracket to install on the passenger side. So that mm-hmm. way, if I ever like knock my shit out,
right.
They have one now.
Fair.
Cost. $40 to put it in. It's like $30 for the extinguisher and like $10 for the bracket on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I brought that up of like one time. Oh, it was off that Taylor Ray video.
Was it? I don't know.
Yeah, I was watching a Taylor Ray video and he was like, yeah, I'm setting up my fire suppression system. He's like, you might notice that the passenger side has it. He's like, if I ever hit the wall hard enough and knock my fucking shit out.
Not buying the cable for that.
Yeah.
Not buying the cable for that. Because my fire suppression system's like out of date. Technically, mm-hmm. like I can get it recertified, but I got it off my one of my sponsors, his drag car. He just got a new setup. So like the bottle's still good. Everything's still good. It's mm-hmm. I think he had to go to a bigger bottle or something.
Okay.
And it was just out of certification. He just bought a new system.
Ross got his setup and he ordered two of the pole cables mm-hmm. for it. He ended up taking the second one and wired
hood,
it to
right?
his hood release.
The worst that I love about that is fucking so I told him, I was like, you should color one of those different colors because mm-hmm. somebody's going to fuck up.
Well, what I don't like about my cable setup is it's a
prank
push.
Ross now. Just hey Ross, I'm gonna open your hood.
Yeah, but I don't like about mine. It's a push one. It's not a pull.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like, they come in both, but like
punch it.
Yeah. So like any, I feel like anyone would just go in there and pull it.
Yeah.
And I need to get like paint marker or something because it's like etched in there or whatever. Like
blackout tagout type where don't touch my shit.
No, like it just needs to be like you need to be able to see read push because it's not a pull for the fire extinguisher for the system. It's a push, which is like way less common than a pull. So
if it doesn't succeed, try again.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was free. So like I saved like $600 or something like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Then it was the same shape as like the nitrous tank. So both tanks on the back of the car looked really badass. And I love the back end of that car. That was like the idea in my head when we built the back end of the car. I was like radiator, dry sump tank, nitrous and fire and fuel cell.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all there. Like 2 years after I built it, I was like, this is nice. This just looks like a spaceship or something. I don't know. You got all these like different tanks and shit in the back.
It looks super nicely. Cool from the back shot.
Like the nitrous tank probably should be standing straight up. Like at least that's what I more notice on drift cars, probably because you're going left and right and stuff. But it looks way cooler. Like
that. I mean, if there's pressure in the bottle, it shouldn't matter.
And it's still like angled it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So like the thing goes down and down the tube or down the bottle and then downward. So like it should be fine. I don't know. I'm going to mess with it for like a little bit and then probably I just want to try it.
Yeah.
That's why I got it. That for like banks.
Yeah.
So, like, very rarely will I need that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I only have 2 bottles. So, 2 bottles, 100 shot, it probably won't last that long.
No.
And especially at like $10 a pound.
And send the rods to the gods.
That, dude, it's a Gen 3 block. The rods are not going to hold up to that a lot.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but if you build the 6.0, the LS2, like, John was talking about getting like DSS, like forged pistons, and then I think he said he might have a set of like old used rods from one of his builds or something.
Yeah.
So it might turn into a budget built motor kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's high flow heads or whatever, like LS3 like ported heads or something for like 1700.
Not bad.
Maybe one day.
What events are you planning to hit this year?
I don't know. I made a schedule last year. That was too much work.
Whatever
the main ones are, I think it's called OTL in Iowa. We're going to that. That's like a private event. And then
I hear OTL and I think Off the Line Performance.
I think that's what I'm not 100% sure what it is. I'd have to,
they might be hosting it, but I don't
know. I've seen a few.
It's in like Iowa. Yeah. It's someone that Joe goes to. Cause Joe invited me. And then, I don't think there's anything in Clean Culture's in June, isn't it? I think.
I believe so.
That I have to buy the ticket for that. I didn't get a denial email, so I got to buy the ticket for that. And then July is like Elite Tuner. Other than that, like Jefferson events and like GOD, probably like one US Air. Kind of sick of going up there.
Is it just because you've been there so many times?
Yeah, it was like all. I felt like that's all I was last year.
Yeah, it felt like it was every weekend was a 4-hour ride up there, sleep in the trailer, do what had to be done, and then another 4-hour ride home.
Fair enough. What's one track you want to go to? I'm curious. I actually legit want to know.
Heard Gingerman. That's a Michigan one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Grid Life at Gingerman.
Yeah. I applied for the Grid Life at Road America, but I didn't get any confirmation email, so I don't even know if I actually applied or not.
You should
didn't
email really Adam care. And be like, hey, bro, am I in or what's going on?
I really didn't care. Like, I was kind of like, if I, for some reason, get accepted, that's cool. Mm-hmm. If I don't, I really don't care. So
I think
I kind of like, I would rather go to like a, what event is that called? I just said it.
Gingerman?
No, what's the event called? That big car event?
Grid Life?
Grid Life. I'd like to go that once and experience Grid Life as not a driver. Actually have fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Oh, if you go to the festival one, it's fun.
Last year I wanted to go to Colorado and they didn't do a Colorado. I'm like, well, that just put a dent in my fucking season.
Utah.
I'm not driving to fucking Utah. Fuck no.
It's close.
It's a day.
It's a day to Colorado, too.
We go to Atlanta for it.
Day to Colorado.
What was
Colorado
the one that they had you drift under a fucking semi?
Utah's
shit
like
you 60. Not, it was a Grid Life. I think it was Utah this year. They set up a semi, and they, like, measured, and so they were, like, doing measure, right? And they put, like, lights and stuff under it, and during, like, the day and night, you were drifting under the semi.
That's fucking cool. Shoot, yeah.
I'm here for all that wacky stuff like Drift Appalachia and stuff like that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know. My car's not really a car. I'm always limited to it at the tracks I go to. Like, I guess Brew City, if it's at Milwaukee Mile again, definitely that.
I saw T-Pain is holding a drift event now, too.
Where?
Where?
I don't remember. I saw an ad for it, and I kind of scrolled past it, and then I lost it. But he's hosting one.
I know.
You'll have it with Hurt. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be in Georgia. Because Hurt probably moved to Georgia to with T-Pain.
There's those guys' gas. That picture was podcasts sick. Up in Wisconsin.
That picture was sick.
I think it's like Eagle something Fab, and then Tire Tread Direct or whatever. They do a lot of
Track Day Direct.
Yeah, it's, I know they were trying. One of those guys was having a hard time just dealing with Wisconsin in general of trying to get to host an event because I think they had T-Pain or Hurt like
that was Bruce City. That's Bruce City.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. we want to come up, we want to do this event with you, mm-hmm. and they're like, well, no, you guys only had 1,100 registrants, and he's like, no, we had a lot more. So I think
Bruce City was packed.
I heard it's a great opinion. Event. I want to go.
And Milwaukee Mile was a good event. At USA Air, it was kind of mid, but they did what they could. So yeah.
You think
it was a cool event? I like the layout different.
It was probably mid for me because it was literally the same layouts I was driving all year.
Ah, so they're just a new
but
event.
But then like half of the day they changed it up pretty good.
That Super D where it was like reverse. And
yeah,
they
like started you reverse on advance, sick. But then you like cut through advance like
yeah.
right after like the wall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went into like reverse Super D or whatever. I don't know what it's called exactly, but which is kind of nice that some of us got to drive that because that was the advance or the, was it the, what's the other truck? Intermediate.
Yeah.
Intermediate. Once you got to that section, that was literally the layout for Daily Drift.
Oh, yeah.
So, we like, anyone that was doing Daily Drift got to practice mm-hmm. Daily Drift fucking layout for the next round.
That helps.
That's cool.
So, like, that was the thing I had a problem with on round three Daily Drift is I only got one good lap of practice. I didn't really need mm-hmm. The problem was it rained. Like, I probably wouldn't even needed to practice because I already had driven that. I probably put, 20 laps on that layout. And when I went out for the first one, it from what I've seen, not that Curtis is, a bad driver or anything, but, it seemed like when he went around the corner, he didn't get on throttle or maybe he isn't as gripped up as me or something like that. So when I got on throttle, I went, right into him, anticipating he'd, be floored through that whole section. And then, once I touched him, you literally see my wheel. I'm getting up to him, I straighten my wheel, and you can literally, the smoke of the tires are, because the car's going sideways, but the front wheels are straight, and you can see the smoke just going this. And then I bump into him, and the wheels go like this, and the car, I think I probably caught it like this, and it spun me the other way.
Damn.
Got thrown out. I was death gripped on it. The wheel just got thrown out of my hand.
Damn.
And I spun the opposite way. He and almost smacked my back end of my car back into him.
Oh.
At least from what it looked like on camera. I'm not sure how close I was, but. Yeah, I did not want to drive in the rain. It was patchy too.
Oh yeah.
And we had fully gripped up my car as much as I could get it to mm-hmm. drive halfway decent in the rain. Then I got patchy.
Yeah, so you hit that one drive patch raining. And it fucking launches you.
Yeah, it was very odd. Even my lead run, it was super. It was nothing, mm-hmm. and it was just.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Everyone thought
I wasn't even gonna drive. I'm gonna try. I'm not gonna try that hard, but I'm gonna try.
I'm at least gonna drive.
If I get out first round, I really don't care. It's almost I kind of want to get out first round, so I don't have to deal with this shitty track conditions.
What about hour and a half? I know we got some more stuff to do tonight, and I severely need to go eat something because I'm hungry as shit.
Continue this at another date.
We'll have to do another one. This time we'll have to pick on Logan a little bit more when we have some more time, and I'm not hungry. All can get out.
Some salt.
I got another bag in the thing, I think.
You better hope.
So if people see you at a track and it's don't not a competition.
Don't talk to me.
It's not a competition.
Unless you need parts, come talk to me.
Unless I can make money on you, don't talk to me.
Can people go for ride along with you? Or would you recommend, especially GLD?
That's
can you take
thing.
Him for a ride along?
Yeah, I don't mind taking people I know.
Yeah.
Definitely randoms. I'm
What would you say?
That's more from a liability thing, though, too.
No, that makes sense. Say GLD. Mm-hmm. Would you think that's a good place to just go, hey, guys, I'm new here. Can I go for a does somebody have some time for a ride-along?
Yeah, usually.
And just kind of put the word on, just, don't be annoying about it. But just, example.
Never.
Hey,
the only time I ever get, frustrated with people with ride-alongs is if they ask twice.
Yeah, it's I'll get to you, and, I won't forget. I'll get you when I have time.
Yeah.
Definitely try to make sure, at least if
bring
I
your own
hear
damn
you.
Helmet.
Well, that and
or ask very nicely to use one.
Well, that and if we've told you, but we we got friends, we've got people that want to come out.
At Rockford, I probably got asked by at least 25 random people, and I didn't even get through all the people, like all my friends.
Yeah, like
it's like I certain, got down to like the last two and the car broke.
Certain scenarios, I guess, would definitely play into that, because like if it's close to like I guess our hometown, we're definitely wanting to have like I guess our closer friends experience it. But I mean, if we're definitely, you know, U.S. air and it's just looking like we're vibing in the pits and things, you know, it just looks like we're being chill and it doesn't look like anything's happening. It's definitely, you gotta, you know,
like read the
use
room.
Your common sense. Yeah. I mean, people don't do it nowadays, but you just gotta do it. You know, if you see us sitting there and it just looks like we're, you know, have our dicks in our hands, obviously, you know, you can come up and ask for a ride along. It's gonna be a lot easier.
I should
easier.
Just start charging for it, because then I'd probably be a lot more likely to want to do it.
Yeah,
and I mean, like, I heard the one guy, one dude's like, I don't have money, but I don't have cash, but I'll buy you lunch. He goes, dude,
I can pay you in blocks,
but like, sure, I'll eat food. I don't care.
Yeah, it's just like definitely just read the room. If we're like, if you know, if
but you, in essence, you do encourage asking for ride-alongs, but be polite. Yeah. Don't be over aggressive.
And then like, I also don't like another way to look at that is I don't like giving random people ride-alongs because then I won't drive as hard.
Yeah.
So like if you're like,
would you say it? Sorry, it sparked something I heard on another podcast. Would you say that when you do get to give somebody a ride-along and you, especially their first ride along, seeing the reaction and how happy they are, and like especially
I used to have people hold my GoPro like right at their face, like this.
Yeah,
so I've got a few videos of that. Yeah, but like if I have like Logan or Abby in the car, I'm like most of the time at like near 100% or whatever. But then like Logan's also noticed. So generally speaking, like the first part of the day, like I go up by myself.
Yeah,
especially at a new track.
So you're calm, you're not calm, but you're
it's more just a safety thing. So like if I crash, it's just me.
It's like
odds are I'm gonna crash and they're gonna be fucking dead.
What happens No. So normally what happens is he'll go out, I'm like, hey man, you know. Like I guess the first time I noticed it was definitely at the Milwaukee Mile. Because I went to go get in the car and he's like, hey, can I just be in the car by myself.
You
I just
feel it out.
Yeah, yeah, I just need to feel it. I'm like, go ahead, go.
A definite place I'm comfortable with. Like, GLD, no, Rock, US Air, or not. Like, that's
maybe a lap.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like,
GLD, you can get on with three people in the car. And
I guess it depends on weather, too.
I pretty much just drive when it's good. I don't.
Pavement Princess, brother.
Bruce 22 or whatever, it literally started raining and we were done for the day. Everyone, like, a bunch of people went back out. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm not driving in the rain. Going half the speed, and no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think we're all hungry. We got stuff to do. It's getting midday or later day for you guys. So appreciate you taking your time. How can people find you, Tim?
I'm trying to my Instagram.
Did you ever change it to TikTok?
No, I probably
should. Oh, no, I changed the TikTok.
TikTok
has been changed.
I stole Logan's account.
Yep.
Fucking about time.
Yep, that's what it is, brother.
For just me, it's just Instagram. TimSheehan_93, I think it is.
Just so you know, he doesn't respond
ever
for a few days.
And then, like, the other day, like, the past, like, few months, I have deleted so many people on, like, Facebook. I deleted 800 people on Facebook the other day.
I need to go through mine, too.
And, like, I'm probably way more picky than anyone else. Like, even if they're, like, in the drift community or anything, if I don't really know you or talk to you, I still deleted you.
It's fair.
Yeah. And then, Instagram I unfollowed probably like 500. Snapchat I deleted a few hundred. Snapchat was the first thing to go because like I would look at stories and I couldn't find anyone I wanted to look at or whatever. So like I probably have like less than 100 people on Snapchat.
I use Snapchat to just text him every so often.
Yeah, they could probably do my Snapchat, which is toxic to me drifting, but it'd be the public profile. I need to get a fresh phone and look at how they add me and how, because if it shows up as like a request, if I delete them, does it still show it? The public profile, stuff like that.
Probably.
I think so.
We'll test it out later.
Well, I found out my boss can see everything that I post on the public profile because he added me and I never accepted it.
Yeah, there's reasons my boss is
just
not.
Just so you know, be careful, folks.
Oh no, that was a conversation piece of work. He's like, "What did you do last night?" I'm like, "I didn't do anything."
There's
he's like,
I
know you
were
hammered.
My job on Snapchat, not on Instagram, because I think his sister follows me on Instagram. So like. Not that I post anything that bad, but like sometimes there's like funny things.
Yeah.
That are just kind of like on the edge of like, probably shouldn't post that.
Fuck it. That's the fun ones.
Like today I posted like new driver started. He already fucked up the tire on the truck. Mm-hmm. Wasn't his fault. It's just funny.
It's just like, fun to make fun of
the them. Kid. Had, like, it was like a second day, and I went to get my wallet out of my truck today, and I went past the new truck, and the tire's just flat. I'm like, a steer tire too. Steer tire's just flat. Shit,
damn.
And I'm like,
you fucked up.
It wasn't flat the day I drove it.
Not my problem.
Logan, where can people find you?
E34 Wagon on Instagram. Toxic Timmy. Drifting on TikTok. Facebook, my name. Yeah. That's about it. Just one of those guys.
Awesome. Rach, you got anything for him?
Nope.
Yeah, this dude talks to all like the drift guys 10 times more than me. I talked to like a few.
Bro, because it's interesting.
So here's what we're going to say. If you want to talk to Tim, talk to Logan. Logan will get you in touch
with
Tim.
He's the...
or just talk,
he's the,
talk to
he's like the Tim. Hiring manager or whatever. He feels you out first.
Yeah. If you talk
if
to
you
Tim,
make
you're
it
talking
past
to Logan.
Me, you'll probably make it to Tim, but if you don't make it past me, you ain't making it to
and
Tim.
And even if you make it past Logan, you probably still won't make
it's
it past
It's not
me.
A guarantee.
It's not a guarantee. Yeah. I can only do so much.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't like my phone going off.
He does not.
I have, like, everything turned off except for, like, texts and, like, Snapchat.
And phone calls.
And even Snapchat, there's a lot. There's a handful of people that are muted, and like, group chat's muted.
I do have to meet those.
Group chats.
Group chats are the worst.
I don't mind it when it's muted.
Especially when you get added into a random one. And,
ours is pretty small. Like, there's probably less than 10 people in there, and we don't like use it all day long.
But when you do, it's like ding-ding-ding-ding.
Yeah, which is why it's muted.
Exactly.
Because like one person puts one thing, and then everyone puts their 2 cents in kind of thing. And then
oh,
like,
yeah, you got to. Yeah.
So I have one last question just to kind of close on, give everybody a kind of a piece to take away. In order to keep motorsports alive, what would you recommend people doing for drifting? What's say specifically
stop
drifting?
Doing takeovers would that, be the first thing. Yeah, honestly, like there's just the same thing like street
be
racing.
Smart.
Street racing is fine; it's perfectly safe.
And so you get
takeovers. At 2 a.m. in the warehouse areas.
Yeah,
or on the highway at 2 a.m. with no one there. Splitting lanes down the highway,
and rush hour traffic is kind of stupid.
Or like shutting down a highway to race.
That pisses me off.
Yeah.
That's a whole episode on its own. I know you got some hot takes on that.
But
shit.
I think it's stupid.
Don't think getting into it is incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. You just gotta start asking questions and ask people to break it down. Even if you might feel dumb, sometimes you might need it broken down in a little bit.
And I
more
feel
of
like
a
most
simple way.
I've seen a lot of beginners ask people like yourself. Mm-hmm. To get in the passenger seat and be like, hey, can you watch me? Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
I can't do that.
Tim cannot physically. So he can tell me better.
Dude, I literally go a million grand. Like, how do I feign entry? I'll literally be like this. Like, how am I supposed to feign entry? Like, I literally can't think about how to do it. And I can do it. I just can't think about, like, every, like, for the comps, like, they wanted you to feign entry. They did not want to see handbrake entries.
Yeah.
Which, in my mind, feign entry is when you want to keep your speed or accelerate through. Up to the turn or into the turn, and handbrakes to slow yourself down. But they want you to drag race into this on this 150 foot line into a turn that you have to be going slower than when you just were drag racing.
Right.
So like, I don't think I ever got in trouble for it or whatever. But like, I would feign entry, and then a second later, I pull the handbrake because I feign it, and then I'd rip the handbrake.
Hey,
so that way it wasn't a straight handbrake
dirt drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I dirt dropped a lot. But I literally got a text from Alex Zier one round.
Stop
I think it was
dropping,
round two. Literally, it said, stop fucking dirt dropping.
I love that.
From Alex Zier, one of the judges at the time. I don't think he might still be, but like he literally said, stop dirt dropping.
That's awesome. But yeah, so essentially, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Find a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Your local Facebook group.
And like, if you have a friend
for
that
the Midwest,
does it, don't be afraid to ask them. Or, you know, that's how Tim and I are. Do this.
Okay,
it
awesome.
Wasn't afraid. Yeah. Like, I asked him, and then things started clicking, and then here we are, you know.
Like, finding events on Google is like not that doesn't work.
If you had your record, I'm going to
Facebook groups 10 times easier. You could even look, if you went in GLD and asked when the next Club FR event is, there might be some asshole comments, but one person will steer you to like the FR.
They're going to find them on YouTube.
Also.
Yeah.
I found Rio Bash through YouTube.
If you just type in like Midwest,
I just learned about that one.
Look up events
and
if you just
Friend Cup or whatever.
If you are not like, just do your own research. Don't be afraid to, you know, send it. There's a lot of people in the community willing to teach you and want you to be in it. I mean, I don't want the community to die. No one really wants the community to die because there's a lot of awesome people in it. there's
you know, make some great friends. Meet some
like the
people.
One person I always remember, I don't remember his full name, but it's like Skeeter something. He's got like a old like 300 ZX or something weird. It's so like unethical.
Is it like one of the first or second? First
yes, guy? I know who you're talking about.
I don't know. His name's like Skeeter, and like he doesn't care. He just goes out and have fun. Like it doesn't matter.
Like
go have fun.
Close to Bones Dock 300 ZX.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy.
I'm pretty sure.
California?
This guy?
I don't know, maybe. I saw some dude in Cali that has like a relatively stock 300 ZX and he just drifts the shit
out
of it.
He's from like he goes to GLD a lot.
Yeah, he drives it there, drives
if anybody
it home,
knows like, who this guy is, tag him in the post so we can say
like, he's just like Royce, like very basic drift car, doesn't care about
he's out to have a good
else.
Time.
Yeah, he doesn't care about having a 900 horsepower.
Don't be afraid to ask. And really, if you want to be in it, be in it. Don't.
I think 800 horsepower fucking cars are stupid at like local tracks. If you're not going to Grid Life event, all these big events. Like,
that's a whole other topic. Can have hot take episode. He needs to be on it.
Yeah, my car makes 400 horsepower and is fast,
especially on local tracks.
Yeah, like that's 800. Like you're literally burning money. You have smoke behind you. That's cool.
Yep.
All right, sure. Well, let's rock out, guys. Let's get some food. Right. I got to take a leak. Thank you, Tim. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Logan, for coming on. I love the cars. Whoever has that GS needs to sell it because I want to drive it.
Whatever. I don't know his last name.
I don't know, but it's gorgeous and needs to stop sitting so much.
Big car. That's sweet.
That fat-ass car. I love it. Thank you, guys. Thrace, Logan, Tim. Awesome. Let's go get some food, Thrace. I'm hungry.
Yes, sir.
All right. Later, guys.
See ya.